Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, sponsored by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. My name is Jason Bankus. I am the founder of Momentum, and I am an award-winning published and certified personal trainer, as well as board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about fitness, nutrition, and health, and we have the answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions or questions asked by people I see every day about health and fitness so we can answer them right here for you. Tune in live every week or listen archived at any time by visiting our page right here at Blog Talk Radio or on our Facebook page at Momentum Fitness and Health, where we are currently live streaming. So you can get the radio blog or you can get the link from Momentum Fitness and Health on Facebook. You can also find helpful videos at our website at findingyourmomentum.com, anything from informational to fitness videos. So thank you for joining me today and or whenever you might be happening to be listening if you're not listening live. So more and more people are running these days. National campaigns like Play 60 and television coverage of races has led to an explosion of new runners. I couldn't be happier about it. Running probably saved my life, to be honest with you. But over the past, say, 12 years, the number of Americans who run 25 or more days a year has increased by 60.6%. This is since 2004. Now, according to data compiled by the National Sporting Goods Association, now Americans who run 110 times a year or more have grown from 11 million to 19.5 million. So that's a lot more runners. People have many different reasons for running. I already kind of mentioned it. It pretty much saved my life. It saved my health. Some do it for weight loss. That's how I started out. Especially before big events like weddings, vacations, and some do it for fun. Some people do it just because they like the competition, either with others or with themselves. So when people start to do it for competition and want to get better, they start running sprints, they do box jumps and squats, and then they foam roll their legs. Now, these are all good ways to increase speed. But one area of the body is often overlooked, and that is the core. I mean, sure, we tend to work out our abs in order to get that six-pack, but the core is made up of all the muscles front and back from mid-thigh to mid-chest. So now, unfortunately, running biomechanics expert Michael Fredrickson, who's a PhD, found that about 90% of runners have a weak overall core, leading to faulty running patterns. Having a weak core can easily translate into running funny, with too long or too short of steps, or a pelvis that swings from side to side. Now, our leg turnover drives from the hips and from the glutes, so it's important that they are strong and not too tight as well. Now, the deep abs are extremely important as well, and this includes the transverse abdominis, which is way in there, and then the internal obliques, which can become weak due to desk posture, which a lot of us tend to suffer from, and that can also lead to low back pain. So you're getting hit on both ends. Now, sitting with hunched shoulders can make your abs tight as well. So not only can this affect your stability and your balance, but can it affect your running form and lead to impaired breathing. At my very first marathon, the Illinois Marathon, I sat in on a lecture with Coach GP, and it was, he wrote a book called Run Tall, Run Strong, or something like that, But he talked about running in sitting or standing upright and having your head up so as not to cut off your breathing. So, I mean, think about that for a moment. If you've got that hunched over shoulder from sitting at the desk all the time and then you start running that way, you can't see that. You can see this in the video, but you're hunched over and you're now cutting off. You're now restricting your airflow. So we got to work on making sure that core is strong but not too tight as well, and that we don't have those hunched over shoulders. So this really kind of will mess up your breathing efficiency and mess up your running. So sitting at your computer for any period of time can be very, very exhausting, and even a painful experience if you're sitting too long. I always suggest every 15 minutes at least stand up. Get up, even if you can't leave your cubicle, office, whatever it is, at least stand up, maybe do a walk around your chair, at least get the blood flowing a little bit, and get your legs out of that cramped up position, and pull your shoulders back. Now, fixating on a computer screen fatigues by overriding natural reflexes that coordinate and align your posture. So the psoas muscle is the core muscle of your body. Now, it's located closest to the gravitational forces. The psoas attaches to the 12th thoracic vertebrae. So that's approximately at the level of your solar plexus. And to each of the lumbar vertebrae. The muscle moves through the pelvis and inserts in the inner thigh bone. Now, the psoas muscle is a guide wire for the spine. So it's extremely important. And this is important for your running form and to protect your low back. Two things important for your low back and to avoid low back pain are strong obliques and loosened up glutes, piriformis, and hamstrings. So we do stretch the psoas a lot in our fitness classes. So now try it. The next time you have low back pain, try stretching your lower body muscles and see if that back pain goes away. Everybody wants to stretch the back, but it's actually more the low body muscles. The lower body muscles, especially on the posterior, on the back side. So, runners, how do we accomplish the perfect core? Well, it depends what you mean. If you mean in terms of running, I'll tell you in just a second. If you're talking, looking for a six-pack, remember it's always about the food. But as far as strength of core for running, it's going to vary from person to person based on their lifestyle and occupation. Not everyone sits at a desk all day. But a majority of people have the following muscle imbalances. Tight transverse and rectus abdominis, that's in the middle here, the middle abs, weak obliques, the external abs on the sides, and tight lower body, piriformis, glutes, hamstrings. Now, of course, a full movement screening and flexibility screening would get a little more specific to each person, but overall, what I just mentioned is typically true for most office workers. So let's start with what is tight and how to fix that. So I want to start here because this is what runners often miss. We get super busy, we're starting to run longer miles, and we forget to stretch and roll until we have serious pain that keeps us from running. So we don't want to keep ourselves from running. So then all of a sudden it becomes important again. Oh, I have to stretch now. Now I'm not throwing shade here because I do it myself too. So let's get to the central portion of your abs. They're typically going to be very, very tight if you're sitting at a desk all the time. Now, two things you can do. You can lay backwards over a stability ball. You lay forwards over the ball to stretch your low back, but in this case, you would lay backwards over the stability ball, letting your abs stretch out. You let your head fall towards the floor. Now, only hold this for about 30 seconds to avoid, a head rush or dizzy spells. Now, secondly, using a tennis ball, racquetball, whatever you've got, or you can even use a fist, you place it right in the center of your chest, either up high, usually a little bit down low, but above, just above the sternum, and you lay forward over that ball or over your fist, whatever it is. I suggest starting with a tennis ball, and if that doesn't give you enough of that self-myofascial release, that push, then you can go up to something harder. But I would start with a tennis ball first because it's going to have a little bit of give. make sure you stay above where your ribs meet in the center, your sternum. You don't want to go too far below and start affecting that xiphoid process that's underneath there. So, again, start with a tennis ball and then move up to a lacrosse ball or a Franklin ball if you can handle it. It will be painful to start, but it's that good kind of pain, that releasing pain. So with that same ball, however, you can sit on it and help release the piriformis. So the piriformis is easily located between the center of your glutes and your hip. So you want to place the ball there, lay back, and then bicycle that leg. So you can do like a bicycle kick on that one leg. Now, if you're feeling that drive in there, if you're feeling the actual push in there without the bicycle, don't worry about it. That bicycle is going to actually add more pressure. So if you're already feeling it without the bicycle, you don't have to do it. Add it in later as your body gets a bit more looser and you need to get a little bit deeper. Now, you can also stretch the piriformis by using pigeon pose. So start in a down dog and slide your right knee to your right wrist. Now, if you feel a stretch there, stay there. If not, you may need to go down a little bit more. So move your hands forward and lower your chest to the floor. So, and then repeat that on the other side. Now, you can hold this for about a minute and a half, so up to 90 seconds. In a lot of your yin yoga classes, you can hold it up for to 3 minutes. So if you think you can handle it for that long, go for it. But sometimes that can get intense, so that's why I always suggest to hold it for no more than 90 seconds. Where else are we at? Hamstrings? All right, so a great way to stretch your hamstrings is to lie in a doorway and run one leg up the wall while the other goes into the next room. So if you can imagine that your leg goes up the wall, the other one goes through the doorway, and then what you want to do there is you want to try and straighten your knee. So there's no bend in your knee. Try and straighten your knee until you feel a stretch on the upper back portion of your leg or your hamstring. Now try to straighten that knee, and as you become more flexible, move your butt towards the wall to where your glute is actually on the door frame and your leg running straight up, and you're at a perfect 90 degrees. Now, some gyms will actually have machines where you can sit in it or lie in it and put your leg in it, and you pull on a lever, and it goes right up. And you can pull it up as far as your body will let you. The one at the gym I go to actually has a gauge, so it'll tell you what your range of motion is. Closer to 90 you can get, the better. So next up, you're going to want to strengthen the obliques. Now, this involves twists. So you can use either an anchored resistance band, medicine balls, or kettlebells in a twisting motion to strengthen the obliques. Now, any of these exercises, you want to keep your feet hips width apart. If your low back is tender, if you have issues with your low back, or your knees are a little sketchy, you're going to want to pivot the back foot. So if you're swinging to the left, you want to pivot that right foot to keep from putting too much stress on that right knee or on the low back. Now, as you get stronger and you have less problems with the knee and the low back, you can keep both feet planted. So that'll give you a bit more perceived resistance. It will give you more resistance because you're using all of your upper body and not any of your lower body to move those things side to side. There, of course, are all sorts of other things that you can do. You can do a V-sit and twist. There's many, 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 many variations on things that you can do to work the obliques. For that, I suggest coming in for a class. We do abs every Friday, and actually next week is butts and guts week, so we have a lot of butts and guts workouts to work on a lot of those things. So it's a good week for runners working on the abs and working on the glutes. So what about strength training? I said, the title of this whole thing is strong, 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 strong. I've been talking about how to stretch. So now in a previous show, I covered whether or not runners needed to do strength training, and the answer was yes, they do. You want to do all-over strength training balanced with your flexibility, not to just run faster, but to avoid injury as well. So you're going to want to do some squats, not heavy. not real heavy squats. You want to do some maintenance stuff during run season. You don't want to get crazy. You're not trying to build muscle at this point in time. You're just trying to basically maintain and build and try and reduce injury. You know, you're pounding on your body. So you need it to be ready for the work that you're going to do when you're running. So you want to do this all-over strength training, balance with flexibility. Again, not just to run faster, but to avoid these injuries. So, you know, it's very, very important to make sure that your quads and hamstrings are proportionately strong to avoid knee injury. You want your quads and your hamstrings at about an 80%. You want your hamstrings to be 80% as strong as your quads in order to protect your knee. You have no idea how many times I tweeted Derrick Rose on that one while he was here in Chicago. So anyway, you want strong and flexible shoulders as well in order to create arm drive. So you can only run as fast as you can swing your arms. It's important to know that. So the faster you can swing your arms, the faster you'll be able to run, the faster you'll be able to help with leg turnover, as long as you're not completely restricted in your glutes and in your hamstrings. So be careful, though. There is some danger. I don't want to say danger is not the right word, but there is some problems with being too flexible, because the natural tightening of the lower leg joints and connective tissues that occurs in response to run training allows the muscles to function like stiffer springs that are better able to capture energy from ground impact and reuse it to propel forward motion than untrained legs or completely or too flexible of legs. Think about it. How does a rubber band react if it's completely loose and you pull on it? It doesn't snap back very fast. But now if you have a rubber band that's a little bit tighter, it snaps right back. But you don't want it to be too tight, because then it can snap in half. So this improves running economy by allowing the runner to use less energy to sustain any given pace. So you want to be the right amount of loose. Not overly flexible, not overly loose, but not overly restrictively tight either. You've got to find that middle ground. That's where trainers come into play, and that's where we have a little bit of value. All right, so does that make sense? The areas that you want to strengthen. You want to strengthen typically your obliques. You want to do some light work for your legs, but you really, really want to get your core more flexible, your abs more flexible. Remember, your core isn't just your abs, but it's also your quads and your hamstrings and all that as well. So make sure that your piriformis and your glutes and your hamstrings are the right amount of loose. Make sure that your core and your abs are the right amount of loose. Make sure that your shoulders are retracted when you're running and you're not hunched over. Work on those things. Chiropractors can help you with that too. And, of course, physical therapists. I'm one of those weird people that likes both chiropractors and physical therapists because I think they both have their place and can work very, very, very well together. Don't tell either one of them I said that. Should you have any other questions specific to training or about events that you're going to do, workouts, nutrition, of course, come find us on Facebook at Momentum Fitness and Health, or find us online at findingyourmomentum.com. We're currently working on updating the website and get some really cool stuff on there with all sorts of information for you. There's already a bunch of videos there, and we are working on some better videos, some better quality videos. The content's always very good. But just check us out. We got a YouTube page as well. Look for us on YouTube at Momentum. And then join me next week. I'm going to answer a very, very, very important question. I'm going to tell you why a salad is $7 and a greasy, greasy burger is just $1. So until then, I hope you find your momentum. Thanks for listening.
That's all.